In the last session, we looked at how to calculate the capital gain when an asset was lost or completely destroyed. In this session, we shall consider the CGT implications of a taxpayer receiving compensation for an asset that is damaged but not destroyed. If an asset is completely lost or destroyed, there is a full disposal for CGT purposes, the sale proceeds being equal to the compensation received. It therefore stands to reason that if an asset is partly damaged but not completely destroyed, this is treated as a part disposal for CGT purposes. As we are dealing with part disposals, to calculate the allowable cost for CGT purposes, we will use the formula A over A plus B. In this instance, A is the compensation received, whilst B is the value of the remaining asset, often referred to as the unrestored value. It is worth reiterating here that the date of disposal for CGT purposes is the date that the compensation is received and not the date when the asset was originally damaged. Let us illustrate this by way of an example. Here we have a taxpayer called Mark who purchased a house for £90,000 in January 1987. In June 2009, the property was damaged in a flood. Mark made an insurance claim and in September 2010 received a compensation payment of £50,000. The insurance company valued the house at £100,000 at this point. This is what we mean by the unrestored value. As an asset has been partly damaged but not completely destroyed, there is a part disposal at the date that the compensation has been received, that is, in September 2010. The sale proceeds are £50,000, being the compensation received. From this, we'll deduct the allowable base cost. The allowable cost is £90,000 multiplied by A over A plus B. A, in this instance, is the compensation received, whilst B is the unrestored value of £100,000. The allowable cost is therefore £30,000. Mark therefore has a chargeable gain in 2010-11 on this part disposal of £20,000. Here we'll assume that the house is not Mark's principal private residence. Under general principles, disposals or part disposals of one's PPR would qualify for principal private residence relief in the normal way. Presumably, having received compensation from the insurance company, the taxpayer would use all or part of that money in restoring the property. If the capital sum is spent on restoring the asset, we treat this as enhancement expenditure for CGT purposes. Under normal principles, enhancement expenditure increases the base cost of the asset. Let us return to the example of Mark. You'll recall that Mark's house was damaged in a flood in June 2009. He received compensation of £50,000 in September 2010, on which we calculated a capital gain. In March 2011, Mark spent £48,000 of his capital proceeds in restoring the property. Mark sold the house for £250,000 in August 2011. Our requirement is to calculate the capital gain arising in 2011-12. Sale proceeds are £250,000, from which we must deduct Mark's base cost. Mark originally paid £90,000 for the property in January 1987. However, when we calculated the gain on the part disposal in September 2010, we deducted £30,000 of this cost in arriving at Mark's capital gain. Mark's remaining base cost is therefore £60,000. However, to this we must add the enhancement expenditure, that is, the money spent on restoring the property, in March 2011. Mark therefore has a cash gain of £142,000. The subject of compensation is dealt with by Section 23 of TCGA 1992. Under Section 23, subsection 1, the taxpayer may make a claim for the receipt of compensation not to be treated as a part disposal, as long as one of three conditions are satisfied. The receipt of compensation is not treated as a part disposal for CGT purposes if all of the compensation is used in restoring or enhancing the asset. A taxpayer can also make a claim under Section 23 not to have a part disposal if he does not use all of his compensation in restoring the asset, but the amount retained is small. Small, in this instance, is defined by the revenue as being either £3,000 or 5% of the compensation received, whichever is the higher. This means that if a taxpayer receives compensation for damage to an asset, and after restoring the asset his proceeds retained are less than £3,000, he will always be able to make a claim under Section 23. However, if the taxpayer retains proceeds of more than £3,000, we must look at whether the proceeds retained exceed 5% of the compensation received. If the proceeds retained are less than 5% of the compensation received, once again, the taxpayer can make a claim under Section 23. Finally, a Section 23 claim can always be made if the capital sum received by way of compensation is itself small. This is that either the compensation money is less than £3,000 or it is less than 5% of the value of the asset. Remember that if a taxpayer does not make a claim under Section 23, the receipt of compensation will be treated as a part disposal and a capital gain will arise in the usual way. The claim must be made within 4 years from the end of the tax year of disposal. Let us illustrate how Section 23 works by going back to the example of Mark. If you remember, Mark bought a property in January 1987 for £90,000. The property was damaged, and Mark received compensation of £50,000 in September 2010. In March 2011, he spent most of this money, i.e. £48,000, in restoring the property. As you'll see, the amount of compensation not reinvested by Mark is £2,000. Mark can make a claim under Section 23 if the compensation not reinvested is small. Anything less than £3,000 is always regarded as small. Therefore, Mark will be able to make a claim under Section 23. Assuming Mark makes an appropriate claim, HMRC will not treat the receipt of compensation in September 2010 as a part disposal. Mark will not, therefore, have a capital gain in 2010-11. Instead, the revenue will take the compensation received of £50,000 and roll it over and deduct it from the base cost of Mark's original asset. Mark's house now has an original base cost, not of £90,000, but of £40,000. This will be used to calculate the capital gain when Mark eventually sells the asset. Remember that by reducing the base cost of the asset, the revenue are simply increasing the capital gain that will be charged in the future. Therefore, a claim under Section 23 does not extinguish the gain, but it simply defers it to a later period of time. In August 2011, Mark sold the house, and our next step is to move forward and calculate the capital gain in 2011-12. Mark sold the house in August 2011 for £250,000. The next step is to calculate Mark's base cost. Mark originally bought the property in January 1987 for £90,000. However, this original base cost has been reduced by the £50,000 of compensation which was rolled over in September 2010. The original cost is therefore reduced to £40,000. However, let's not forget that in March 2011, Mark spent £48,000 of his compensation in enhancing the property. This enhancement expenditure will therefore increase the base cost up to £88,000. Mark therefore has a gross gain of £162,000. If we think about what we've done for a moment, we'll see that the gain of £162,000 is exactly equal to Mark's cash profit. If we consider the cash received by Mark, this is £50,000 of compensation in September 2010 and £250,000 of sale proceeds in August 2011. Mark's cash received is therefore £300,000. Mark originally paid £90,000 for the property in January 1987 and incurred £48,000 of enhancement expenditure in 2011. Mark's cash payments are therefore £138,000, leaving him with a cash profit of £162,000. As you'll see, the cash profit is equal to the gain.